There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Same corner, same time, Stadium Miguel. No intro. Nonetheless, we're here. Sorry to be a little late, man. How you guys doing today?
We're doing good. We're doing good. We got Matt Zenitz from On Three joining us, and I know that we're running up against the clock with him, so we will welcome him on to the show this morning. Then we'll get to our usual weekend shenanigans and all that kind of fun stuff. But Matt, it is a pleasure to chat with you, my friend.
I appreciate you guys having me on.
Absolutely, man. Well, you have been the coaching news, breaking news guy for the past year or so now. You've broken a lot of interesting stories and obviously a lot with the Florida Gators this past offseason, as the Gators do replace three coaches on their coaching staff. But Matt, I'm most interested in Austin Armstrong. The Gators bring back Billy Gonzalez. They promote internally at the tight end coach. But Austin Armstrong, 29 years old, formerly at Southern Miss, most recently at Alabama for about a month. But Matt, what did the streets say about Austin Armstrong and him coming over to the University of Florida as defense coordinator?
It's a wonder kid type figure. So have a good relationship with Will Hall, who's head coach at Southern Miss, and somebody who's been a mentor type figure for Austin. Austin was obviously underneath him at Southern Miss and has a longstanding relationship with him. And Will's always spoken extremely, extremely highly of Austin. Obviously, one of the big questions with Austin at this point is the lack of experience at obviously this kind of level, not only from a coordinator perspective, but just overall being at this kind of place outside of the short stint at Alabama. But people, even outside of Will, that I know that have experience with Austin, that have relationships with him, all have a lot of confidence in him, what he brings to the table, his potential for moving forward. And for whatever it's worth, I'm sure there will be growing pains that come along to a certain degree with just this being the first opportunity like this at this kind of level. Like I said, for whatever it's worth, people whose opinion I trust have a lot of confidence in him for moving forward.
I think there was just like a little trepidation in Florida fans because you had the wonder kid, the rising star in Patrick Toney, and then your offense your defense was one of the worst in the SEC. So then you kind of replace him with someone younger in that same thought process. So I think there's just a little hesitancy in Gator Nation when you bring in someone younger than Patrick Toney, who's also called a rising star. And you're like, all right, cool. Does that mean our defense is going to be a sinking star again in 23?
Yeah. Well, all I know, Billy Napier is somebody who I have a lot of respect for in terms of his ability to identify not only talent from a player perspective, but from a coaching standpoint also. And this was a deal with Patrick Toney that had been in the works for a couple of weeks or so, leading up to him ultimately leaving, where even before Jonathan Gannon got the job out there in Arizona, this was something that, from what I've heard, had been verbalized to Patrick Toney that could be a possibility with Jonathan Gannon, and that if it came together like it looked like it may, that there would definitely be interest there in getting him on board. There was a couple of week process leading up to this ultimately being finalized, where Jonathan Gannon eventually got the job. They started to get more real, had to work through the buyout portion of it with Patrick Toney, because if I remember correctly, his buyout was somewhere in the range of $380,000 or $400,000 or something like that. And NFL teams, as you guys know, Don't feel like messing with buyouts, especially significant ones. But throughout the course of that process, Billy Napier was aware of just this being a possibility. So it gave him time to give thought to just who could make sense as a potential replacement if this did come together with Patrick Toney and the Cardinals. So this wasn't just like a spur of the moment type deal with Austin. This was something where Billy had time to think about this. And through that period of figuring out the best course of action, determined that Austin was the person who would be the best fit for Florida and for that DC spot for moving forward.
Matt, want to ask, and I know that you mentioned it. I know you said that Billy Napier's reputation is strong, and you've obviously been around the game for, you know, have seen him, you know, get from that rising star to ultimately the culmination of him being now the Florida Gators head coach. What is his reputation as not just an identifier of coaching talent, but his ability to? I know he's good at closing on the recruiting trail with recruits, but with coaches as well.
Yeah, has a very strong reputation. Obviously, when you take over a program, that they're always going to be, hate to use the term growing pains again, but there's always going to be a process just getting things to where you want them to be. That was the case for Nick Saban at Alabama, where look back at 2007, it wasn't exactly the same kind of level of year that Alabama has had since that point. But whether it's Nick Saban, Billy Napier, or whoever, that there's always going to be a process that comes along with taking over a program and getting it set up structurally to where you want it to be. And that's something that obviously has been going on there during the course of the last year and now heading into year two. And obviously, and not to throw out anything super obvious, but obviously a very important year two now for Billy Napier and that staff.
Matt, my last question is, I know, you know, Florida Gators lost three coaches to the NFL this season. I think there was 18 or 19 college coaches that moved on to the NFL this season. What do you kind of pontificate is the future of the college coaching profession? Are we going to start to see a lot more of those coaches trying to make that jump up? Do we feel like this year was a little bit of an anomaly? And then where do you see coaches coming from? Do you see a lot more high school coaches making that move up? Or do you see the FCS or the D2 level over to the FBS level a little bit more frequently? Kind of what's your prognostication there?
I think you'll see a combination of different things. So You see this kind of stuff every year with college coaches making the move to the NFL, just like you see NFL coaches making the move to the college level. And obviously with some of the responsibilities that college coaches have at this point that have been added to the responsibilities that were already there even before the last couple of years, it leads to an even greater interest level for at least some guys to make that move to the NFL level. That said, there are only so many NFL opportunities. Right. And I think that even though there are a good amount of coaches that have aspirations of moving to the NFL level, that there are a decent amount of guys, even in the NFL space currently, that still have interest in the college level because, like with anything in life, that there are pros and cons to each side. And without boring you with details of NFL salary structure and all of that kind of stuff, even from a financial standpoint, you can, depending on the spot and position and all of that, make more at the college level sometimes than at the NFL level. And the financial part of it sometimes can be a decent driving factor for people in life, including coaches, when making decisions. But for whatever it's worth, you had a conversation with an NFL assistant coach today who was inquiring about something college-wise that's open right now that would have interest in. So like I said, I think you'll see a combination of those different things. College guys interested in making the move to the NFL level, obviously, but at the same time, still a lot of interest in guys either remaining and working up at the college or in the college space, or people currently at the NFL level who are interested in the college part of it. Wait, one other interesting thing to go along with that. So I've been expecting for a while, and I'm not sure what your guys' expectation was on this deal, but I've been expecting for a while the structure of coaching staffs to change heading into this season, where maybe it could take more of an or turn into more of an NFL model. Or wait, what was proposed also was being able to expand the size of staffs and countable coaches during the week for practice, even though those guys wouldn't be able to the coach during games. And it was initially supposed to pass that rule in January, ended up getting tabled at that point where it didn't go through. but there was still an expectation around the coaching world that it was going to be in place before the season started. And actually, I've now heard during the course of the last couple of days that the rule is probably not going to pass, or really, barring some surprise, is not going to pass before this season, which is even more interesting just because I know there have been multiple teams even during the course of the last few weeks who had been making hires based on the expectation that this rule was going to go into effect. So that was something else interesting coaching-wise that had come up during the course of the last couple of days, including this morning.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure the NCAA will have compliance officers at every practice around the country to make sure that guys who aren't supposed to be coaching aren't doing that at practice. But it's interesting because, you know, the NFL is not going to take bad coaches. Like you said, there's only a certain number of jobs. So to me, and obviously rival fans of Florida will troll and say Billy Napier is losing control of the program. It's like, listen, to go to the pinnacle of coaching is not, you know, bad for a program. It means you've identified talent. I think until college football reins in the calendar now, a lot of coaches will say, hey, I like at Friday going home and not being on the phone with 16-year-old kids telling them, please come to my school. I like to hang out with my wife or see my kids. And I think just the quality of life aspect, if you have a chance to go to the NFL, the probably a higher quality of life, even if the paychecks are a little bit smaller. So I think the NCAA, which, like you just mentioned, enjoys kicking the can and delaying decisions on important stuff. You know, I think until that gets settled, you might see more coaches who have the opportunity to go, or some of these guys in support staff roles. Florida had a coach go down to the high school level. Hey, you can make six figures coaching high school football in the state of Georgia and not have to worry about recruiting. You just maybe coach a class or teach a class twice a day and then coach football. So I think that's something different too. It is interesting though, Matt. Just wanted to get a little bit on your background. Where'd you go and where'd you come from? All of a sudden we just started seeing, you know, Z-bombs on the timeline and you breaking news.
So originally from Maryland, spent the first 28 years of my life in Maryland, covered combination of the Baltimore Ravens at the NFL level there and University of Maryland football. And then after the 2014 football season, covering combination of University of Maryland football and basketball, had opportunity to come up with AL.com at that point, covering Alabama, made the great move from Baltimore, Maryland to Tuscaloosa, Alabama, to wait what I was expecting at that point to be like the epitome of My Cousin Vinny land.
Well, similar metropolitans, yeah. Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and you know, the tri-state area up there.
Yeah. And actually, like my first breakfast experience in Tuscaloosa shortly after getting there, Waysider, a place that was right down the street from my initial apartment complex. It was confirmed even more at that point that I was moving to My Cousin Vinny land.
Right. Instant grits. Yeah.
Unfortunately, it didn't end up being to that kind of degree. But shifting back to actual stuff that you guys care about or asked about. So went to AL.com 2015, covered Alabama football there, and then role progressed to covering the SEC as a whole. Did that through the early part of 2021, and then opportunity came up at 1-3 and have been here for going on 2 years now.
Absolutely. Well, Matt, you are a gem to follow, and obviously, you know, lots of Z-bombs, as Nick calls them, or you know, the woes or the shams of college football breaking news, and obviously broke a number of stories for the Florida Gators this year. And I know that you're running tight on time, Matt, so why don't you let all of the listeners know where that they can follow you, and we certainly appreciate your time.
Yeah, I obviously can find everything on 3 website and then on Twitter, mzenitz, mzenitz.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Matt, for your time this morning. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk soon, my friend.
Appreciate you guys.
Awesome. Matt Zenitz with On 3. I know that we came in hot with this episode. Silk was dealing with a laptop issue, and we jumped in. We completely changed the intro for you and everything else. So, Silk, Nick.
Play our intro now.
Let's get back
into the flow. Play the intro now. Get in the flow.
We're not going to do that. We're already 13:47 in, Nick. So let's change the order we do things. Nick Silk, how was your weekend, buddies?
Just very chill. Didn't get into a whole lot, man. Just kids on spring break, so just spent some time with them, hung out, and that's it. Nothing special. What about you guys?
Nick?
Just got some family stuff going on with on my fiance's side of the family, so keep us and her in your thoughts and prayers, and we appreciate that, and hopefully we get some good news today.
Absolutely. And again, prayers to your family. The weekend was good. Played golf on Friday and Saturday. You know, we're starting to just really put it all together. Might be moving on to the Corn Ferry here soon. Probably a quick year, probably win Rookie of the Year there, and then head up to the PGA. If we keep playing the way that we are, you know, the drives are dialed in. The inside 100 is dialed in. The putting's dialed in. Nick, we're ready to go, baby.
You didn't shoot low, you said, though.
I did not shoot low. You know, I played in a charity scramble on Friday with a buddy of mine, Derek. Appreciate the invite, and two of his coworkers. And Derek and I had a fantastic time out there. But just the vibes were a little off the whole day. But we had a great day. We did not win, but we had a good time out there. Shout out to Josh, he's a listener as well. But great day out there. Saturday shot really well.
I saw it was either like on Foreplay Instagram. I saw it on Instagram. Yo. So the Foreplay Pod with Barstool. Saw somewhere on Instagram, since you were just in a scramble, they were showing the scores. Cap or no cap, a team shot a 41 in a four-person scramble.
So this is the thing that I tell people about scrambles all the time. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. Everybody around you is cheating. A lot of people moving balls. A lot of people, you know, giving themselves birdies right when they should have got pars. But a 41, a 40, really anything. And I'll tell a quick story here in a second. Is absolutely egregious. If you're going to lie, you can't win by 8 strokes. you just look like you're cheating. And I have no doubt in my mind they didn't show those people. It's going to be 4 probably overweight. You put them out on the driving range and they're probably putting the ball at about 160, with a driver, with a hard hook or a hard slice to it. But no, don't cheat, in anything that you do. But if you're going to cheat in a golf scramble, don't be egregious with your score. I'm sure there were some mulligans. I'm sure there were some things that you could buy. Maybe they bought their way to win, but I'll never forget. I appreciate Eric Wilbur for inviting me a few years ago up to the former scholarship athlete golf tournament up at Bostic. And it was me, Eric, another guy whose name I'm forgetting right now. And then the fourth member of our group, I think it was, I don't remember who it was, but anyway, he wasn't able to make a day off. So they gave us the club pro. He shot a hole in one on his second hole. It was incredible to watch. First and only time I've ever seen a hole in one with somebody in my group. We shot, I think, a 13 or 14 under. Our group was just on fire. Really good round of golf, especially when you have the club pro there. We came in, I think, third. You'll never guess who won, Nick.
Who won?
Steve Spurrier, Shane Matthews in their group. And I'm not going to say that they lied or cheated. But
Dan,
the pace,
Dan, watch out.
But the pace that they got out of their chairs and just very slowly sauntered up to take the trophy, just raised some eyebrows. I'm not calling Steve Spurrier, never would. Gator great. I don't think that he is a cheater. Would never call Shane Matthews, friend of the program, a cheater. But somebody in that group was fibbing on the final scorecard there.
So, well, then you've got a 50-50 then, because it's a foursome. So it's not those two. That means it's going to only be one of two people.
But, you know, wasn't there when they turned in their score sheet, but they just didn't look like a group that was shooting 18 under on the day. But enough about my golf life and accusing Steve Spurrier of cheating,
man,
at the golf tournament.
Dan coming in hot, direct. All of your hate towards Dan, you can see right there, it's at DK Thompson for what he said about Steve Spurrier this morning.
But with that being said, why don't we get on to the show? A lot of fun stuff to talk about, Nick, Silk, a lot of stuff going on in practice. We have some interviews to get through, a big recruiting update, and then we'll wrap up. But as always, want to give our friend Alan Horn a shout out, title sponsor of this program. Give him a call at 706-692-2888 or visit him at Alan Horn Insurance. Com. If you're in Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, or Alabama looking for auto, home, renters, life, business insurance, retirement planning, again, 706-692-2888 or allenhorninsurance.com. Nick, give us the practice update. What do we've got going on? We're seven practices through now. Halfway there, halfway home.
Yeah, seven practices through. First scrimmage, let me get this. The first scrimmage is tomorrow, Tuesday. So if you're listening to this on a regular pod and not watching live on YouTube, it is today. It's Florida scrimmage in the swamp. You know, we'll get our usual 15 minutes before and then spend the rest of Tuesday on the phones trying to see what actually happened at scrimmage. But it'll be interesting. We got a chance to talk to the quarterbacks on Saturday. And interesting, you know, hadn't really thought of this. Max Brown, you know, was talking a little bit about his athleticism, his ability to run. And that's probably separates him, I guess, a little bit from the other two. I'm not saying that Mertz or Miller are, you know, a 40-year-old Peyton Manning, you know, standing back there like a statue. But Max Brown definitely can bring you more of an Anthony Richardson type of movement in the pocket. So I think everyone's been talking about Mertz, like, you know, rightfully so. But this first scrimmage will carry a lot of weight towards who ends up winning the battle. And I've said before on the show, it feels like Florida is setting things up for him to be the starter, just where they're sitting him in the locker room and kind of the way the reps are shaking out. But I don't know that anything we've seen is that, you know, he is appreciably better than Jack Miller. And granted, what we're seeing, and I never lie about what we see at practice, but it's also a lot goes into talking to people who are out at practice, whether that's coaches, high school coaches that we know that are out at practice. There were a ton of coaches who were in town for the Chalk Talk last week. And I just don't have any, you know, any confidence or anything. Nothing anyone has told me makes me think that Graham Mertz is head and shoulders better or has been head and shoulders better than Jack Miller to this point.
Is that a regression to the mean with what's the expectation? You know, Jack Miller injured, you know, both former four-star guys, Miller and Mertz both come from the Big Ten respectively. You know, Jack Miller has a tough outing, not necessarily just, you know, because of him, but just the game in the Las Vegas Bowl. Is that a concern, Nick? Is Jack Miller stepping up a bit more, or is there just a lot of question marks right now?
I think there's just a lot of question marks, and Florida will be in the market for a quarterback in the transfer portal when it opens in a couple of weeks here, April 15th through 30th. The portal is open. And it'll be interesting to see, because a lot of guys across the country, not just at quarterback, will go through spring ball and will look around and start counting. And what's the depth chart look like? All right, well, I'm not playing here. Or we have a new coaching staff. I gave it a shot, didn't like it. I think Florida will be, I mean, there's a bunch. They probably need 7-8 guys in the transfer portal across positions. You look at safety, I think you need potentially a starter at safety. You could use another outside receiver. You could use an offensive lineman, a defensive tackle, nose tackle, an outside linebacker, pass rusher. Like, there's a bunch of positions, but Florida definitely needs to get another quarterback just from a depth standpoint. You got two preferred walk-ons, but you would like to have four scholarship quarterbacks when you start the season in August.
Yeah, I don't think they can enter the quarterback transfer for Porter looking just for a fourth quarterback either with the room you just described. They got to go get a guy that could play and compete for a job this fall, and they don't have a lot of time to compete. So interesting quarterback battles around the country. At Texas, there's one. Ole Miss, Bama. I'm not really counting Georgia because I don't think we want whoever loses that battle unless it's Vandegrift. But a lot of interesting battles to going on around the country, and the portal is going to get full. But I don't think they're going to go and get a pedestrian guy to just be the fourth guy on the depth chart. They got to get a guy to compete for the job. It's just, you're saying it's a competition, but don't sound like one, and that's scary.
Yeah.
There's levels to competing. Like, this isn't Tim Tebow and Cam Newton competing.
I mean, regardless of their skill set, it's just, we know when there's a position battle at other position, whether it's good or bad talent, it doesn't seem like a battle. Even when they speak, Graham Mertz seems like he's the starter. I don't know what's going on at practice, but nothing I'm hearing from hearing them in interviews or hearing anybody else around the program talk, even the players, the receivers, when they're asked anything, even in the offseason, a lot of these guys led with Mertz. It wasn't a whole lot of Jack Miller. So it sounds like he's the starter. It don't sound like there's an open competition. And even with the reps, it seems like Mertz getting most of the first team reps from what I'm seeing and hearing.
Yeah. Give me, guys, your opinions. Graham Mertz, I think, started 32 games at Wisconsin, highly ranked 4-star right now, taking a majority of the reps, transfers to Florida, likely expecting to play. You have Jack Miller that's been there, now going into his second full offseason, with the University of Florida. You have Max Brown there. But talk to me what you guys think the attractiveness of that position is. Do you think Florida goes in and almost has to promise somebody that starting job? Or what do you guys think if you're trying to get one of the guys that doesn't win at an Alabama, Texas, and Ole Miss, wherever it might be? Talk to me about what you think the attractiveness of coming to Florida right now with two upperclassmen there. And then, of course, with DJ Lagway coming in, not long after.
Yeah, I think the attractiveness would be to a guy with 1 year left to play, maybe with two years to play. And you would tell him, like, hey, listen, we are back in the portal because we are looking for someone to start.
Right.
Billy Napier and his staff is not going to tell someone, hey, come here because we need you to be our starter. You're going to have to earn it. But I think the recruiting pitch is, listen, we were just in the portal for a quarterback. We watched him in the spring, and we're back in the portal for a quarterback because we need someone for the fall.
Right.
I think that's your sales pitch. And it's what you would tell a portal quarterback is, if we thought we were good at the position, we wouldn't be talking to you right now.
Right. And where Florida's difference is, right, they only have three scholarship quarterbacks right now. Mm-hmm. Two is you can always try to play, hey, we're looking for that fourth, looking for that additional, compared to already having four or five on the roster. Silk, what are your thoughts? Kind of similar to Nick?
Yeah, similar thoughts. They just got to go. I mean, it's, if you're a quarterback and you're a competitor, looking at that depth chart, you're in the SEC, a lot of exposure. Anthony Richardson just is about to go first round, or just went first round in that case, because will be post spring. So a lot of possibilities and a lot of attractiveness if I'm a quarterback in the portal, wanting to stay in the SEC, wanting to play big stage football. A lot of opportunity right here, and I think it should be a lot of suitors. We should have a lot of possibilities this offseason. Would have preferred to have that quarterback in for the spring to get more reps and get more install, but with the way the quarterback competition, and there is no competition in my mind, man. And when you don't have competition, you're just not getting the best out of anybody. And Jack Miller and Mertz aren't pushing each other. So, like, what are we getting? Interested to see how Max Brown, what his future looks like and how he develops as well, being a dual threat guy.
Yeah.
And then there's another possibility that's floating out there, and I've heard about it. This doesn't really help you this season, but Austin Simmons, there's a possibility a 2025 class of 2025 quarterback could reclassify two classes to 23 and enroll if he were to commit at Florida, could enroll, and he would, I guess, take Jaden Rashada's place in the class. That doesn't help you this year. You're not starting a 16-year-old kid at quarterback.
Classifying two classes up?
Yeah, that, from what I've heard, I was told.
I'm here if you do that. I'm just.
I was told that, and apparently he's almost close to graduating. Has been dual enrolled and has college credits already. Significant, much smarter than me.
That to me is tough. I'm not saying that he's not talented, that he won't be, but I think for me, the way that I look at that is not just age, and I don't know if he enrolls at Florida at 16, 17, I don't know his exact age, but jumping those 2 years, missing those 2 years of practices, missing that 2 year of training and just everything else, it seems like an awfully large jump. Now, I'm sure he's got advisors. I'm sure he's got coaches and everybody else telling him that he could. That seems like a tough situation, or it'd be a lot to expect anything out of him, before probably year two or year three, wherever he goes.
And then by year three, by year two, now you're sharing the room with Lagway.
Right. He's sharing a room. It's Lagway's room.
you're paying rent in Lagway's quarterback room.
you're in the secondary quarterback room in the back.
You're the most popular quarterback on campus now.
Yeah. You've got one of the old meeting rooms in Ben Hill Griffin. They don't even have you in the meeting rooms in the new football only facility.
The quarterbacks are on Zoom. Like everyone, there's Lagway and Billy in a room together. And then the rest of them are over in the swamp and they're just zooming in.
Yeah. But don't have the ability to talk. It's just all muted. just listen.
The host has you muted.
the host has you muted.
Yeah, no way. If I'm Austin Simmons, I'm a 25 kid. If I am reclassifying, it ain't to come to play at the University of Florida the year before Derek Lagway get here. That's not a smart move. I got Derek Lagway as a guy that shows up and plays right away. He's got that Tim Tebow, Jameis Winston vibes on him. He's gonna be ready to lead, and he's gonna have the weapons around him to do it. I think skill position wise, he's gonna have a lot of talent around him. As far as quality of player, so I like, and Austin Simmons is from 5'6", 1.
Yeah,
and it's still a little bit more. I'm not all the way sold on Austin Simmons yet. You know, it's still, I haven't put the cosign on him yet. It's still just speaking to some people from Pahokee, some guys around here. He still got some football to prove before I'm just completely on Austin Simmons to UF. And I'm not that high on Florida quarterbacks either. Just to keep it a bean.
Yeah, he has the 5'6", 1 sign off, but not the. The silk sign off, and that's more important. That's what we're looking for. That's
facts.
I like the nickname, the Muck Vic. All that's cool, but quarterbacks are a different position, man. And I like my quarterbacks out of Texas, Georgia, California. You know,
nothing more
out of California. I'm done.
Annex the entire state of California.
Outside of Rashada,
annex the state.
Derek, you mentioned it. So Derek Lagway is going to be a guy that brings in a lot of guys and attracts a lot of people with him, to University of Florida. We'll talk about recruiting here in a bit. Anything else on the quarterback talk? And then I want to talk about the very short breaking news that happened that seemed to go away in about 12 hours. But any final quarterback thoughts?
No, that's it, man. Just need another quarterback. Monitoring every quarterback competition around the country, waiting for spring football to end, and then those graphics to go out of. Hey, it's been a good ride, but I'm out of here.
I appreciate the coaching staff.
Yep,
but right.
It's time to take my talents elsewhere.
Those are the butt graphics.
The butt graphic. The butt graphic.
The butt graphic.
Yeah.
It's, I appreciate everyone. I love my teammates. Yeah. The
taking a chance on me. Yeah.
The fan base took a chance on a kid, but
I'll always be a,
yep.
You know, I'll always be a Crimson Tide, right?
Bleed blank and blank forever. Right.
But not next season.
But not next year.
Nick, I want to talk about the news that hit the timeline Thursday evening. Baylor offensive tackle transfer Micah Mazzuca tweeted that he himself thanked Billy Napier and the coaching staff, but that he would be transferring from the University of Florida once the transfer portal opened on Friday. By Friday morning, that tweet had been deleted. He is still with the program. He does have an undisclosed injury and has missed practice. But Nick, can you give us any purview into that situation?
Talking to some people at Baylor, he had been a kid who had talked about transferring and obviously ultimately did. I think he got hurt at practice. He has a shoulder injury, and whatever happened, I think maybe he thought, I don't like what's happening with my shoulder. Maybe I can go somewhere else, get a different opinion and, you know, not have to get surgery. I think it was just a kid, and listen, he's been in college for 3 years, but he's still a young man making a rash decision. He sent the tweet, and I don't think everyone was even out of the showers yet after practice when the tweet was sent. We walked out after media, that night, and I saw him just sitting there. I was like, oh, that's weird. He wasn't at practice, but here he is. And by the time I wasn't even home before the tweet was sent, so I know he was still on campus. It's interesting. And there's no way to spin it. Like, if he does leave, that's your second best offensive lineman. I'll give the best offensive lineman crown to Austin Barber. He continues to look great. And I think he's going to be a really, really good left tackle for Florida next season. But after him, like, I think that's your second best offensive lineman. And losing him, Jake Slaughter is a guy. You know, they just have, like, guys who have been at Florida for 3 years, 4 years, and haven't really played. Riley Simmons would be a guy that could slide in there. Maybe Cam Waits. You have to obviously see what he's going to look like when he gets back from Achilles injury and surgery there. So I think the option number one is getting Mike and Mazuka to stay. Option two would be going back to the portal. And option three, you've got some guys who have been around and hopefully, you know, they take the next step and they haven't done anything for 3 years, but have, you know, matured and progressed and maybe are ready to play, in 23.
They have to go to the portal anyway, in my opinion.
You need depth.
Injury. Yeah, you need depth. Micah being injured, and you don't know if he has a setback. You don't know if he has re-injured it. So you already got questions and concerns about his health. Cam Waits, his questions about his health. I think there's also Damian George, the transfer from Alabama. I think he has some health issues or concerns. So I think at this point, you got to go to the portal and bring in a couple guys. And from what I've been hearing just behind the scenes, they are going to be in the portal. And there are some names that I'm not ready to put out there yet, but there are going to be some additions, or they're going to try to bring some guys in. You just need, now I'm not talking about freshmen. You need guys that just like the guys you just brought in, Damian George and Goodwin, the guys that have been on campus for a few years that can contribute right away, because our depth is very thin in the trenches. So regardless if he's coming back or not, you know, I don't know, because I don't think it's a solidified situation now that I know of. If he's coming back or not, you got to get some bodies, a couple more bodies, in my opinion, in the trenches in the portal this next window.
Absolutely. So stay tuned. Transfer portal doesn't open for a number of weeks. I think 4 weeks from now anyway. So
April 15th. So
April. Oh, I apologize.
So like a little bit over 2 weeks.
Does it close May 1st? Or am I just making dates up?
It's just you're just
making stuff up, you know.
It's April 15th through the 30th, so you get like a little 2 week window there.
By a day, and Nick makes it seem like I was off. Yeah, by you're 6 months.
You're throwing darts at a calendar in a dark room. That sounds like a John Mayer song.
That's ridiculous.
The Micah also, it looked insane to the fans, and it came out of left field because everybody's speaking so glowingly of him.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just like they spoke about his leadership, him in the weight room, how fast of a learner he is. And then all of a sudden he misses a practice, and then this tweet goes out about him entering the transfer portal. So that just came out of left field. And you know, it's a lot of things that go on. Some things get blown out of proportion, made bigger than it should be. But that did come out of left field. I was heading to bowling with the fam. I was like, what the hell just happened? And then you hear about an injury, which was more news to a lot of fans. And then he deletes the tweet. So it's all wait and see right now. We'll have more as the transfer portal window opens. We'll see if he enters. But for now, it was just a weird thing.
And for what it's worth, I was told like that night as I'm like trying to write the breaking news story and then following up after writing, you know, hey, here's some breaking news. I was told by someone in the building like, hey, he's not going anywhere. Like this was surprising to the coaching staff. Like the coaching staff didn't know this was coming. So I think what it was is just a kid sending off an emotional tweet and probably not knowing, not to like discount Baylor or anything, but not knowing Gator Twitter and what a tweet like that would do. You know,
yeah,
he thought everybody would sleep at 11 p.m but nah, bro,
sir, no sir.
And I can imagine a day and age, you know, before Twitter, that the number of people that quit their team, I can't begin to tell you how many times I almost quit my hockey team or said I was done or wasn't going to practice anymore. I wasn't even, you know, a college, you know, football player, right? And dealing with the hot Gainesville weather of a tough physical practice, right? I mean, I'm sure pre-Twitter, this happened a lot, but now we get the content out of it at least.
Nobody talked Dan off the cliff though. They were like, go ahead and jump, bro.
We don't need you anymore.
You quitting hockey? We got more Dans here. Around here.
Yeah, there's like, definitely a lot of Dans.
Coach is like, what do you mean you quit? We asked you not to come to practice anymore. You keep showing up.
Yeah. Don't even have a jersey anymore.
Hey man, you know? we took away your skates. What are you wearing? Are those tennis shoes?
Right.
That's ridiculous. That's just funny to think about because that's probably how it was. Let's see here. Nick, Andy Jean's still doing well. Any other standouts that you want to talk about?
Bro, my Twitter account has quickly become like an Andy Jean fan club. Twitter. He's just that dude. I said he's the second best receiver in the room, and someone says he might be the best. I'll still give that. I'll play favorites I'm not removing the crown from Ricky's head, but I think Andy Jean's that dude. I'm excited
Ricky
to see
smooth,
what you,
man. Ricky, smooth, bro. I like that Florida State game put the icing on the cake, bro. He was putting some dudes in the blender with some one-on-one situations. You're gonna have to have a game plan for Ricky in that slot, dog.
Coming off of a concussion against Vanderbilt. Where he's even said in interviews, he's like, I don't even remember getting concussed. And I'm like, well, that's how concussions work.
That's the point.
That means it worked. Ricky's smooth. Ricky, like you said, so you have to have a plan for number one. If you're a defensive coordinator, when you start your game plan for Florida on offense, it probably starts with number one. Gotta know where he is on the field. I think you're going to have quickly teams are going to, say, hey, we need to know where number one is and we need to know where number six is. I don't know if Andy Jean starts at Utah game one, but Andy Jean will be a starting receiver for the Florida Gators at some point in 2023.
Game one, baby.
Let's put it on video, Nick, and audio.
It's on video.
What game?
Listen, y'all clipped me with Mertz. Clip that. Play that one on Twitter.
Murder Mertz.
Misdemeanor Mertz.
Misdemeanor.
I don't know if he's even jaywalking yet, Silk. So
I don't need my quarterbacks in trouble,
Squeaky
clean. Yeah, let's keep him clean and off of steroids and all that type of stuff,
Oh no.
I did like Zach. Was it Zach that interviewed Murder Mertz?
Yeah, we put it up on Gators Online. We all talked to him, and then we put up like a little clip of his online.
Yeah, I thought it was he speaks very impressive. I'm impressed with the way he prepares, talks. Mm-hmm. He sounds like a quarterback, very articulate kid. I'm rooting for the dude, man. We'll see how it all plays out. I still want a quarterback in the second window. No offense to Murder Mertz. Just, got to keep the competition thorough in Gainesville.
Absolutely. On the defensive side of the ball, Nick, anybody you want to give their flowers to? Any continued area of concern we don't need to rehash, but any
what's interesting to me is that they've kind of shifted the defensive line responsibilities. Last year, Mike P was only coaching the Jack linebackers. This year, he's got the ends and the linebackers. So, it's just less people for Sean Spencer. I like Coach Chaos. I like that room. Maybe you could use someone else. I think I'm hearing good things about Caleb Banks. I still think personally for me, he's a kind of a project and maybe a guy that you have in a couple packages this year, but not a three down lineman yet. Cam Jackson. I think
you still have 3 years with Caleb Banks.
Yeah. He's got time. Cam Jackson continued to hear great things from the people I talked to at Memphis. It was, he's someone that you have to tell go to. And you'd rather tell a football player, whoa, than go, like tell him to, hey, slow down a little bit than to have to try to, motivate them. But I haven't heard of that at all at Florida. Asked Coach Chaos about that specifically. He says, we haven't had that issue here at all. Don't have to tell this young man to go at all. So I think he's already pushed Des Watson down to the two. And I'm excited to see what he looks like, in pads, when the games start. On defense, I really like it now. We haven't seen a ton of it. But I like the move of Jaden Hill inside. See if he can handle that. It's a totally different position playing nickel is a totally different position than being outside. You don't have that sideline to help you as a defender. Mm-hmm. You've got a whole different type of player that you're covering in the slot. Can you handle that? That's interesting to me. But if you can get Devin Moore, Hill, and Jason Marshall on the field at the same time, those three cornerbacks, I think that's the best case for Florida. And then obviously, you know, you still have some other guys competing for reps, but I think those were your three best there. My big concern, I guess, is going to be safety.
Yeah.
I know fans love Kamari Wilson. We'll see. He played a little bit last year. He needs to take a big step from freshman to sophomore year, especially if you're going to be the starter. And then this is a Miguel Mitchell fan pod. Shout out to Silk.
Already, man.
Early adopter.
And it seems to me from the way that things are talked about, Austin Armstrong, I know at the beginning of practice the other day was having the new up downs, but spending a predominant amount of his time with the safeties, or is he bouncing around?
Corey Raymond got, you know, when I'm guessing it'll be a raise. We're still waiting for the contract to come in, but I'm guessing it'll be a raise. And given the whole room, but Austin Armstrong spends a lot of his time with the safeties. And he does bounce around a little bit because he doesn't have a specific room. But at least, you know, those first 15 minutes, he is running the individual drills with the safeties.
A couple things real quick. Who's the quarterback and doing the calls on the defense? Do you know that?
Trahaja Mitchell.
Okay.
I think you're going to see Shamar James start to take some of that responsibility and some of that with him. He's looking really good. And the staff likes him. So I think you don't ask him to do that at all last year. Like, hey, you're just trying to – you got arm floaties on, and we're trying to make sure you don't drown with all this new information. And now going into his sophomore year, it's, okay, your play on the field is good. Now we're going to put a little bit more on your plate and see if you can still play fast if you're starting to do that stuff. So I think you'll see Shamar start to do it more. But Mitchell came in right away, and obviously a guy going into his fifth season has plenty of experience in different defenses and being asked to make these calls. So he's a guy that has been doing it for the most part.
All right, man. I got to speak on the nickel spot because it's just been horrid since Chauncey Gardner's left. It's just been revolving door. I do not know, no slight at Jaden Hill at all. Hope he figures it out and excels at the position, but I'm going to need one of these freshmen to jump up and step up in some capacity. You know, I don't know who it may be. Jakeem Jackson, they spoke glowingly of him and spoke about him getting, I think it was Corey Raymond that said he's going to definitely get some reps this fall and they're going to count on him to play. I don't know if he's getting looks at that position. Is Jaden Hill starting at the start right now? I don't think he is.
Yeah.
He is?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I would like to see one of those young freshmen. Sharif Denson is another guy out of Jacksonville who I think they brought in at that position. It's a lot. That position is not an easy spot to play. Don't think because it's the third cornerback in, you're put in, and it's a reason Chauncey, you can see how well Chauncey's doing in the NFL at that same spot. It's hard to play that position. There's a reason we haven't been able to get a guy to play it. And I don't know, you know what I'm saying, if Jaden Hill has the skill set and the physical abilities to be able to cover it. Guys out of that slot and do a lot of things we need him to do from that position just to keep it a being.
Yeah. Certainly not the position he was recruited for. And it might just be a matter of what's available, right? And right. That could be something that, you know, Florida's looking for in the transfer portal as well. Because like you said, Silk and Nick, it is definitely a very different role than just playing that outside cornerback position. Any other additional final thoughts, Nick? I know there's a question here. How's the strength and conditioning staff compared to Nick Savage? Kind of their vocal, their what you see out of them.
Just trying to not me. I'm not Nick, but yeah. just I'm definitely monitoring it. You know, especially with the injuries in the trenches that we've had. Whenever you start getting injuries, you just want to monitor the strength and conditioning. Same way when Muschamp or anybody else was here, so. Definitely monitoring it. I haven't seen a lot of progress pics or anything like that, but we'll see what these guys look like this fall and if anything's changing. But that's my take on strength and conditioning. It's hard to monitor it from afar. You got to be up and close to see if these guys are getting real gains.
I think Muschamp had a dude. I can't remember his name. That was like the strength conditioning coordinator, and Like, I don't even know what he's doing now.
He's still around.
Maybe it was McElwain then.
Oh, the old guy? No.
Yeah, the
old guy. Oh my goodness.
That's I think everyone Gator Nation had forgotten about him. I can't remember his name. I think it was. I think they were doing
PE teacher, man.
They had the old school elementary, you know, the multicolored parachute. That was Florida's gym. That was Florida's strength and conditioning program.
Yeah, they were playing dodgeball.
Yeah. I think the staff is good. Mark Hockey's got a very a big staff. I like hockey a lot. And the pushback that the players had was, you have to understand, when Nick Savage wasn't retained, it was the strength coach is like your head coach for 7 months out of the year. You spend way more time with the strength coach and the strength staff. So the players are probably closer to Mark Hockey than Billy Napier in some aspects, some regards. The players were closer to Nick Savage than they were Dan Mullen, because that's the guy that's around
you easy.
Most of the – well, it's the guys that you're around the most. And I think that the new players like this, or the players like the new staff, and obviously, you know, took some time, to get there because of their feelings for Nick Savage.
Absolutely. I'm going to give you the initials of Jim McElwain, strength and conditioning coach, to see if you remember. M-K.
Mike Kent.
Mike Kent it is. Mike Kent.
Shout out to Mike Kent. No idea where you are. Where's Greg Nord?
He's collecting Social Security. I don't think Greg Nord ended up in another coaching position, surprisingly, after his time with the University of Florida.
He
went out on top, you know.
Greg Nord is doing the worm at a senior citizen facility right now.
Next season. So You Think You Can Dance, season 47, Greg Nord.
Right after Jell-O.
Straight off the Jell-O.
Right after Jell-O, before nap time. Yeah.
Bro, they put something in the Jell-O.
Yeah. Right after a nice Salisbury steak for lunch. All right, gentlemen, let's get on to the rest of the program. As always, we do want to give a shout out to a really awesome organization, Gatorverse. Go visit them, gatorverse.io, providing NIL opportunities for University of Florida college athletes. I do want to highlight the event that they had this weekend. There was enough people that paid. I should have been there. My apologies. I did have to play doggy duty this weekend, so I wasn't able to make it. I know, but we'll get me in a leotard and we'll go over it. They hosted a clinic at Balance 180, and just a ton of people came out. A number of the student athletes were there. Just an outstanding show of events for something that's really, really cool that they're doing to try to provide opportunities beyond just helping the student athletes through NIL, but being able to provide reciprocal experiences for yourself or your family. Trinity was out there. The whole gymnastics team was out there teaching what seemed to be dozens of young gymnasts there at the Balance 180. So go check them out, gatorverse.io. There's a great article from the Gainesville Sun about the event. We'll link that in the show notes. But go check them out, gatorverse.io. We do have a super chat question before we get on to recruiting. Question is, any chance we lose a quarterback after the spring game?
Absolutely.
You can't lose Mertz. Jack Miller would need a waiver.
Mm-hmm.
And Max,
which Brown, you've said is pretty.
Yeah. I mean, there's the NCAA is not. They lost most of their teeth, and I think they have misplaced their dentures. There's not really lot of.
They're right next to Mike Kent's bed there. Or Greg Nord. Yeah. Both of them. They probably share a room.
Bro, the retirement home's going to send you a cease and desist. they haven't been keen on turning down waivers. I mean, Tate Martell went to more colleges than I did. And I took a nice tour myself, and he was never ineligible or never had to sit a year. So I think there's a bunch of reasons or ways that you can get put a waiver in and get it. So if I'm Jack Miller and I don't win this starting job, you know, maybe I want to get back closer to home. Arizona State probably needs a quarterback after Emory Jones left.
Ah, the old Jack Miller, Jayden Rashada matchup.
There you go.
The matchup they're clamoring for.
Everyone's been clamoring for it. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But if you lose another quarterback, now you're down to two scholarship and two preferred walk-ons. You like Florida's already going to have to be in the portal for a quarterback.
We appreciate that from 904 Wheel. And again, any questions, please feel free to use that super chat button. Let's get on to recruiting. A big weekend again in Gainesville. A lot of big names. But before we do that, there is going to be an announcement today that you, the Gator fan that is watching on YouTube, will be happening today at 2:30 Eastern time. Josiah Davis out of Berrien High School in Nashville, Georgia, class of 2024. Let's get his video rolling here. But that is a commitment to be on the lookout for today, again, at 2:30. I think the Gators feel confident. While I pull up his highlight film, Silk Nick, any thoughts on 2024 athlete Josiah Davis?
They want him at safety, correct?
Correct.
I'm okay on the take, not high on the take. This time of the year, I'm not mad. We took receivers this time of the year last year that didn't end up making this class. I think he's an athletic kid. Runs a over 1,100 meter. I would like my skill position players a little faster than that, but displays a lot of return ability in his film. A lot of athleticism, but not a whole lot of safety film that I'm absolutely in love with. Don't mind taking him in March. If he's the bottom of the class, I'm not absolutely mad at it either. We took Patterson this time last year, and a lot of receivers I think we brought in ran him away. And we'll see what the DB room looked like. But out of South Georgia, not mad at the take, but and it is early. If we taking this guy in December, you know, in January, November, around that time, then I'm just like, all right, we must have whiffed on a lot of dudes. So obviously it's a guy they like. They take him this early. I think the DB board is still somewhat decent. We still got a lot of big names, especially at safety, that we can go get. So they must like him a lot. But we'll see how it all pans out. He's pass rushing on some of these plays, man.
Yeah, I don't.
That was a child he just hit there.
I've read some a little bit about the competition that he plays may not be the best. And I think if you look
that's
at
JV,
yeah, I mean you look at some of these guys.
This is a jamboree.
The Arch Manning team.
Yeah, he you know, he is definitely an unknown to most. I think 247 is the only one that has him rated as a three-star right now. I know On Three doesn't have him ranked in the others. Rivals in ESPN don't either. I would imagine that's going to be something that you watch. That's a lot of circles around him. I think only one was necessary. You know, again, a guy that, you know, we don't know a lot about, has visited multiple times, being recruited by Jay Bateman and Austin Armstrong. And obviously Corey Raymond would have to sign up on this or sign off on this as well. I believe 6'1", 185 pounds.
Runs the alley very well, by the way. But just looking at this, he plays the run excellent. My bad. Go ahead.
No, I mean, I appreciate your feedback. I'm struggling here with information on this one.
No, just looking at the film, he's very, very good in run support. Squeezes, avoids blockers, coming down the alley, strong safety type. I'm not mad at his film at all. I'm okay with the tape, but I do know some of the safeties that we're after that I may just have higher. The Pride kid, it's a couple more that, but you looking at his film, a guy that knows how to play the run, not seeing a whole lot of, and the competition is a lot to be desired with who he's playing against. And I would like to see some pass coverage plays in the highlights.
Wait, hold on. Did my man just punt? This is star of the class. Move over.
He coaches
DJ,
as well.
Move over DJ Lagway. My guy is a punter. Punter, right, rush the passer.
Here safe. Goes Nick.
Runs he probably calls the defense.
Yeah. He might be the head coach. Who knows?
This kid's got five-star written all over him.
Watch his closing speed here.
This is who he's
probably not a play that I would have put in my highlight film, but not bad.
I do
love all of the different animations this video uses. I mean, I think they've run the entire gambit here. Not one has been the same.
Wait for it.
This is why you watch on YouTube, you know?
He should block it like an outside linebacker. I'm going to be honest with you. Like, he plays the run game very good.
Yeah. The competition you say, that you play against, right? You can't.
Yeah, you play who you play. That one kid, it must have been like a country day school, and he's a fourth grader playing.
You know, but this is what you want to see, right? You know, beat the teams you're supposed to beat the way you're supposed to beat them. Beat your 181-pound left tackle the way you're supposed to beat them.
A lot of our players are from private schools, and these private schools aren't playing the best competition. You look at even the kid we get, Chauncey Jones,
dare you.
At Benjamin.
Yeah.
One of the knocks on Kyrie locally in Palm Beach was that he was at Benjamin and not playing with the bigger school. So there's a lot of kids at Benjamin right now. Cardinal Newman that we're after, they're not playing the biggest of schools. They're playing a lot of private schools with, and when you call them the family, it's going to be some smaller kids. You play who you play. We got a lot of players that play at private school with that type of question around them, or small ball, like 1A football.
And certainly a guy to keep your eye out for. Like Silk said, this is 9 months before National Signing Day. Still hasn't played his senior year. Has offers from Florida, Georgia Tech, Kentucky, Louisville, NC State, Tennessee. So a number of schools, and certainly a prospect that is not on most radars of On3 and 247 and the like just yet. But that doesn't mean that the kid's not talented, and does not mean that he won't be potentially a good to great player at the University of Florida. And also, like Silk said, you still have time. If he doesn't develop the way that you want, or if he ultimately doesn't end up fitting in this class, there's still time to decide. But that commitment announcement will be today, Monday at 2:30. If you are listening to this on Tuesday, he is likely your fifth member of this class. In other news, big weekend in visits this week. We can talk about number one ranked wide receiver that came onto campus. And let me just pull up his film. Jeremiah Smith, Ohio State commit, was on campus with DJ Lagway. And for all intents and purposes, sounds like the visit went as well as one can imagine a committed prospect visiting your school.
Got me hyped. It had me hyped all weekend. DJ, you know, Jeremiah Smith, a lot of smoke in the air. People think we just, you know, a fly by night. He's just swinging by campus. We got DJ Lagway, bro. Players want to play with him, just like the Tim Tebow and Jameis Winston vibe. He's going to bring in some killers with him. I'm not saying that we're absolutely going to flip him, but this is definitely Miami's right down the street from him. He haven't been on their campus in forever.
Yeah.
So that kid driving several hours up to Gainesville, DJ Lagway gassing up his private jet because he got to have one at this point. So shout out to DJ Lagway for gassing up his private jet and heading to Gainesville to hang out with some receivers, man.
And listen, you obviously want to – start landing these guys, but I think it says a lot just about Lagway. Like the guy, like you said, Silk, is racking up frequent flyer miles on the jet just to be here. That shows you the dedication he has.
Big buy-in
to Billy Napier, to the program, and to wanting to get guys around him. We're not playing tennis. It's not a solo sport. You got to have guys around you. You can be the best quarterback in the country. And on a terrible team and not win anything.
Yeah, let's pull up Jeremiah Smith's highlights here from Chaminade Madonna.
The truth.
Down there in Opelika.
Chaminade's not in Opelika?
That's where he lives. Sorry. He's Chaminade's in Hollywood. He's from Opelika. My apologies.
Chaminade is not even the same country as Opelika.
Not even the same county. It's definitely the same country, but definitely a different county. On3 like has country.
No, Chaminade's a different country than Opelika.
That is true. That is true. On3 industry ranking has him as the number two overall player in the country, number one wide receiver, and number one athlete in the state of Florida. Cousin of NFL quarterback Geno Smith.
Himothy.
Something that you learn every day.
Currently committed to Heartline up at Ohio State, who does a great job with receivers as well. It's going to be a tough hit, but we'll see what's up, man. Killers want to play with killers. Just keep him getting on campus. We'll see if he shows back up for spring game or whatever. But he also sent out a tweet. I think he quote tweeted Chance Robinson, who was also on campus, with some eyeballs or something like that. Chance said he had a great visit this weekend as well. So you like the vibes and the momentum, and you like a quarterback that's early in the fold, an elite guy that's recruiting. And also, he just killed. He also killed the 7-on-7 scene, man. Just doing what he got to do. You recruit with also with your skills. So he's recruiting also at these camps and these 7-on-7 events and in DMs and on campus, man. Shout out to DJ Lagway.
That was a nice catch.
This kid's the truth, man.
Yeah, this kid's good.
That pass was terrible and just went up top on somebody. Just
head top.
I believe it was on three compared him to AJ Green.
No, you hate to see this on St. Thomas's field.
Enough of the highlights. Even more than that, you love
that.
See
wasn't
it.
Even St. Thomas they were playing, so that was fine. We're just lending the field to a lesser.
It's probably a jamboree, you know.
I think it was STA. That's not good.
Jeremiah Smith's on campus again. All you can ask and all you can want is for them to continue to come on campus, continue to recruit them hard.
And listen, DJ Lagway is not probably not hugely known in Florida high school circles, but he is quickly making himself known. And as his highlights from these 7-on-7s come out and these training clips come out where, I mean, he's throwing the ball like a second baseman from the side, 60 miles an hour. you're gonna see a lot of players. Like I said, with Lagway, he wants to play with the best. You're gonna see a lot of receivers saying, "Hey, look at this kid throw! Like I can catch that. That'd be nice catching that."
Right. Absolutely. There's a similarity with not too similar, but I've seen some comparisons with him and Justin Fields. Justin Fields didn't blow up to around this time last year. He started taking off. We're heading into this to the winter. He was a 3-star, I think, quarterback. And then he started showing up at camps, and he had a crazy off season of just killing 7-on-7 in different camps and competitions. And I foresee Lagway when it's all said and done, bro. You're gonna have to show me a quarterback that's better than him this class. Right now, I got him as top dog, man. I stand on it.
Yeah. Definitely doing his work out there right now. Also on campus was Nye Carr announced that he's visiting. My apologies. Nye Carr, wide receiver committed to the University of Georgia right now, confirmed that he is in Gainesville to visit the Gators. I'm sorry, that was yesterday. My apologies. So here is Nye Carr. We'll get that pulled up for you guys. We'll talk a little bit more about him while we do that. Nye Carr is from Colquitt County in Moultrie, Georgia, ranked as a 61 overall player, number 11 wide receiver, number 8 player in the state of Georgia. Like I said, is committed to Georgia, has been committed for some time now, had previously said his recruitment was shut down, but back on campus.
You like to see it. You love to see it. Receiver, good receiver room. Nice board of guys. All three of these guys we've shown, I think, we're in it for possibilities. Chance Robinson is the most possibility because some of these guys we got to flip. And I think the uncommitted guy is probably the easiest guy to get, and that's Chance Robinson from St. Thomas Aquinas. Ben Hypolite left. Benedict Hypolite went down to Miami. I know he has a lot of relationships down there, but just hearing Chance, the things he had to say after this weekend and the relationship with Billy Gonzalez getting going, I think all that's a plus. And he's got to be our most likely to, you know, the highest on the board that's uncommitted, I would think, right now is probably Chance Robinson out of St. Thomas Aquinas. That's just my opinion.
That's it, right?
Yep. The Gators also hosted Josiah Trader, who is teammates with Jeremiah Smith at Chaminade Madonna, ranked as the number 6 overall wide receiver in the country, number 23 overall player. Right now, a lot of predictions for him to Miami, but you just need to get these guys on campus, continue to recruit them, and keep them away. So a lot of big names. Let's see if I can run through any other names that visited this weekend. Again, you're going to see a lot of names popping up over the next couple of days, a couple of weeks. 2025 offensive lineman Juan Gaston was on campus on Saturday, has offers from Alabama, Texas, Georgia, LSU, LSU, USC, and Tennessee. Let's see. Jamari Howard was on campus as well. Three-star New Jersey offensive tackle Juan Minea was on campus. 2024 defensive lineman Malik Blockton was on campus for the second time on Thursday. And then 2025, potentially 2023, but definitely not 2024 QB. Austin Simmons was on campus on Thursday.
Muck Vic, as the streets are saying.
Muck Vic. Jamari Howard is a commit to Michigan State. That's one that I don't see sticking. Don't see him
definitely not sticking. Yeah, he's gonna end up in all big three schools are all after him, and I know there's some Georgia interest and a lot of Southeast interest. I don't see Mel Tucker and the guys keeping him in was it East Lansing? What do they call it out there? No,
East Lansing.
East Lansing is Michigan State. Yeah,
yeah. I don't see him sticking out to Mel Tucker. Mel's got a good eye, and he was on him before a lot of other recruiters and coaches. So shout out to them for that. But and his kick absolutely ball. He's an SEC caliber safety talent. You know, Florida State's very high on him and rolling out the red carpet for him. But we're in his recruitment out, and he's definitely not going to stick to Michigan State.
Things you love to hear. all right, Nick, let's get into a quick home field ad read, and then you have a lot to talk about with baseball. Go visit homefieldapparel.com, use promo code stadium and Gale, get 15% off of your order. It's March Madness time. A lot of great stuff out there for all the schools that for the most part are there. I don't think that there's any FAU stuff just yet, but hoot, hoot, hoot. If that is a school
5-6-1, baby,
that you root for, I would imagine that they'll have some stuff here soon. But go visit homefieldapparel.com. About 18 different items for the University of Florida. More are coming. And the baseball team is absolutely incredible right now. And they do have the script logo of the that the Gators wear with the white shirt and script Gators logo. So go check them out. Homefieldapparel.com, promo code stadium and Gale. Nick, the Gators beat FSU midweek, go 3-0 against the defending national champions Ole Miss in Oxford. I think this is the first time they've swept in Oxford, and correct me if I'm wrong, since 1988. Perfect. So just a few months old that year when the Gators swept them. So Gators do it again. Nick, give us the update. Jack Taney hits 4 home runs. I mean, we're looking at the golden spikes this year.
Yeah. So Florida scored 5 runs in the 8th, come back and win in Tallahassee. Big week, 4-0 week. I think you scored 37 runs in 4 games. Jack Caglione had to hit 4 home runs to keep his national lead, because former Gator Chris Armstrong hit 6 home runs on Saturday and Sunday, 3-3.
Holy
to
cow.
Move to 16 on the year. So Jack's home run on Sunday, which he's hitting, I think, like 321 with 8 bombs on days that he hits or days that he starts. So Jack's 17 home runs move him just 1 ahead of former Gator Chris Armstrong, who's at JU, had an incredible weekend. Florida, after spending all weekend on the road, will be in Jacksonville Tuesday night to play the second game against FSU, and then they will return home to host the Auburn Tigers. And Florida right now still 3rd in the country. Just behind LSU, who has an awesome series. I'll be tuning into that one against Tennessee. The chirping in that one should be epic. A lot of trash talk between LSU and Tennessee on the field. I think it's number 1 and number – give me a second. Tennessee, despite having 6 losses, I think he's still ranked in the top 15.
Tennessee still talking greasy with 6 losses?
Oh, buddy. Tennessee will talk greasy with 13 losses. Florida, Tennessee. We might have to go up for that, boys. Let's spend weekend in Knoxville. We could. Tennessee's top 10. Tennessee's
done it before. I'll be honest with you. As you guys know, I love to travel. Lots of repeat cities that I'd love to go to again in America. But Knoxville does not come close to the apex of that list.
Well, Knoxville. I don't know the last time you went. Knoxville's fun.
It was in 2008.
Knoxville's gotten a lot better.
Really?
I hope since 2008.
Knoxville's got a nice little downtown area.
The only city in America that hasn't improved since 2008 is Jacksonville.
Dan just listen. Don't get mad at Dan. He's just meeting his quota.
It's just the shtick. You know, this is a personality.
It's your personality, not a creative personality. It's just one your genuine personality. Florida's number three in the country. Despite not getting so early on in the year, all three losses came because of the bullpen. They were up at least three runs in all three of Florida's losses, and the bullpen gave up a lead this weekend. Florida's starting pitching was not good. As good as Jack has been, he walked eight. Hurston Waldrop threw okay, but doesn't get through the fifth inning or doesn't get through the sixth inning. Brandon Sproat kind of a week after throwing a one-hit shutout. He was not himself on the road this weekend. So Florida did not get great starting pitching, which they have all year. But obviously the hitting continued to hit. The batters have had an incredible year. And then the bullpen, guys like Cade Fisher, Blake Purnell made an outing. Carlos Arroyo, a freshman from Douglas, he threw in a big leverage spot. He was good. So Florida had a really good week off the field. And you're going to get an Auburn team that should be on sweep contention. And you might be looking at Florida, with five, six wins in a row in SEC play. So it's a really fun team, really special team, as you guys know. You've seen them in person. With a big schedule coming up after Auburn. Then you're at Tennessee. Georgia's pretty terrible at baseball.
That's good.
But then at South Carolina, that's going to be a huge one at the end of April. South Carolina is 23-2 on the season.
That's solid. Again, not a lot to do in Columbia, so you got to win some sporting events to keep things going for the city.
And that'll be I think Founders is a smaller park, and South Carolina hits a ton of home runs, so that might be.
Boy Jack, though.
You might get some football scores.
I need some Jack Jacks.
Jack.
We got to send Dan to heckle the outfielders.
I had a blast. Number nine.
Number nine. Dan will never forget. Have a tattoo.
Nine had a rough day. I'd like to see where his season trajectory has gone since then. I think we really got in his head that day.
Florida State has lost 9 of their last 10.
They're also things you love to see.
They fall to 12-12 and unranked on the year. Miami got swept this weekend by Virginia. Both Miami and Florida State get swept while Florida does the sweeping. Big week for known Olympic sports school, University of Florida. Big week.
We're a baseball school right now.
We are a big baseball school. Any final thoughts before we get to our final ad read, and then we'll do a quick update of Gator sports before we get out of here. Any other topics you guys want to discuss before we run through that quickly?
No. I think I'm all right.
All right, go visit Alumni Hall on Archer Road or visit them at alumnihall.com. The best in Florida Gators wear, from baseball to basketball, to track and field, to football, new coaches, polos, all that kind of fun stuff coming out, both Nike and Jordan. Go check them out. The best place to get a whole plethora of Florida Gators things. We are working on a promo code here soon, but don't let that stop you from go visiting alumnihall.com or on Archer Road. Weekend in Florida Gators sports. Let's knock out. Unfortunately, softball loses the series. Number eight, the tough season thus far. Number eight over Gators are ranked number eight. They will not be, but they lose to number 12 Arkansas. They lose the final game 14-1. Just not the best year for Gator softball, but Still a number of games left to go. Women's tennis beats Ole Miss 4-1. Just a rough week for Ole Miss against Gators sports this week. Number 22 Gators men's tennis, pardon me, beats Auburn 6-1. So things that you love to see. The women are in their first WNIT quarterfinal since 2013. That game will take place Monday evening today at 6 p.m. Eastern time on ESPN3. And if you are listening to this on Tuesday, hopefully we had another Gators victory. And shout out to Kelly Ray Finley and her squad on their run thus far. They also just got a five-star commit. So I believe that's back-to-back years that the Gators women's basketball program has gotten five. Let's see in other sporting
news. Her name is Liv McGill, the five-star that we got in women's basketball.
That's a great name. I'm looking forward to it.
Liv McGill. Yeah, right? Rhyme.
Yeah, it's just a solid, you know, it's just a solid, good name there. Let's see. Trying to pull up track and field. I know that they set some records this weekend. So while I pull that up, bear with me. Live TV here.
It's all good. I got a filler. We didn't talk about Keon Zipper's injury, which was
pretty huge. Oh, we did not. Huge. There you go.
Huge blow. Into the tight end room. Keon Zipper got hurt in the season. This is like two injuries within 4 months. Mm-hmm. Tight end room is already a lot of question marks. He's definitely was going to bring in some pass catching abilities. Just a big void in the room. Wish him a lot of good luck with recovering from this injury. Hearing a lot of good things about Arliss Bordenham. I think he is the highest ceiling guy in the room, but there's a lot to be desired with the tight end room. For us to go get somebody out of the portal, I think we need somebody to leave, in my opinion, though.
Yeah. And listen, you got seven guys there right now, so someone could leave. You know, obviously Dante Lang is a guy that this staff loves, and he's going to continue to play like he did last year. Probably your starter, but Arliss Bordenham stepped into Keon Zipper's role. And I think he's a guy significantly more athletic than, you know, Dante Lang, certainly than, you know, the Griffin McDowell who's moved on. I think he gives you a different dynamic and more of an offensive weapon than you had last year. And he wasn't ready to play last year, especially after his shoulder injury that he sustained, missed a lot of the season. So, it's kind of an unknown, but you can see the talent there. But if you can get an offensive weapon, even someone who's a midget like Brant Keithy, so even a little guy like Brant Keithy, someone who can catch the ball, expand the field, run up the seam, catch some passes. Florida's definitely in the market for that type of tight end, but you have a huge room. Like, you probably ran out of seats. You're bringing a folding chair into the tight end room.
Arliss Bordenham is between everybody else in the room. So Zipper is a smaller tight end, but he's athletic. Other guys are bigger guys that aren't your Kyle Pitts type of guy. I think Arliss Bordenham is your tweener of all those, the highest ceiling, the highest ceiling athletically. Excuse me, man. It's been a tough morning. But we'll see, man. I think we need to add another guy into that room. Mertz leaned on the tight end spot a lot at Wisconsin. I think it was his number one targeted position. Right now, he's our starter, so we need to make sure like he has that a good outlet.
Absolutely. Thanks for covering that.
An outlet with a USB plug.
Right.
Yeah. All right, show is getting off the rails here.
Was a good one. Felt good about that.
The delivery was off a little bit.
Okay. All right, I got to go on tour, practice. That joke a little bit.
Do want to give a shout out to the men's and women's track and field team that kicked off their 2023 outdoor campaign with the FSU relays. They had 31 runners finish in the top 10, 17 men, 14 women, 9 finished in the top 3, including Ashley Klingenberg, who won the 800 meters at a 2:11.69 there, finishing 3 seconds faster than anybody else. Really an incredible run there. Kaven Wilson with 3:52.31, and Catherine Nohilly, 4:25.56, swept men's and women's 1500 meters. And then Devin Willis was the fourth Gator to win, placing first in men's javelin at 58.03 meters, or if you're keeping track at home, that's 190 feet, 4 inches since we won the Revolutionary War. Gentlemen, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
No, shout out to the Revolutionary War, though.
Revolutionary War. Thoughts, we have a question from the audience here. Thoughts on the black uniforms we have coming this year? Still waiting on an official announcement from the University of Florida.
But it'll be the Arkansas game, second to last home game. I don't know what we're waiting for, but Billy has already said it.
That's just breaking news here.
There you go. Breaking news. It'll be for the Arkansas game. They're going to wear black uniforms. Watch. It'll be, you know, two like 5-win teams and like a noon game.
You put breaking news on the thing, but he didn't say it like it was breaking news. He said, like,
No. He just kind of flippantly said it. You've got news for the show, that's important things to break early.
Sorry.
We're 1 hour, 25 minutes, and 11 seconds in.
That's why you stay till the end, not just for my banger song of the weeks every third week. You stay to the end because the breaking news comes.
I think you have song of the week today, so hopefully you have some bangers.
I had song of the week last week.
Oh, that means it's my turn. Oh, boy. All right. So
more dead air from Dan. Dead air Dan.
Dead air Dan. Yeah. We're going to.
Dad.
Dad. Dead air
I've
Dan.
Got a great song to play. Gentlemen.
So black jerseys for Arkansas, and the black jerseys, they will be auctioned off after the season, and Florida will send that money that they make from auctioning the jerseys off to veterans and the families of veterans, which is why they're doing it around Veterans Day.
What are we expecting? Are we expecting that? I mean, there's been somebody, I think it's the knockoff ones from overseas, where it's just kind of been the inverse of the jersey we have now, just with black. Is that kind of what's expected here? Are we going to do something different? Are we going to do a black scale jersey?
Please no.
I want my black scale.
I saw at a baseball game a couple weeks ago someone wearing the replica swamp green jersey.
That's the kind of energy I like, you know?
It's a nasty era, man.
It was nasty work. And that guy was like, you know what? Someone's got to do it. It'll be me.
I'll never forget. I was sitting next to you for that game in the press box, Nick.
Were you?
No, you know what? I wasn't. I was in Champions Club for that game. No, I forgot. Okay. I just remember being near where you would sit. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah,
we
were in the same stadium.
We were. And 90,000 of our closest friends. Let's see the Gators. Finally, I forgot to mention this. Thank you to Ryan Bushmeyer in the chat. As a reminder, Gators Women's Gymnastics is competing in the regional tournament this weekend to try to make it to the second round of the regional tournament to make it to hopefully try to claim another national championship, but they will be in beautiful Pittsburgh competing against Arizona State, Maryland, and either Penn State or Towson. That will be on ESPN Plus. That will air Thursday through Sunday.
Very nice.
With that being said, gentlemen, we are going to play Kip Moore's new song. It is called Kind of Bar, just came out Friday. So if you haven't been on Spotify, you will hear it here first. Kind of Bar by Kip Moore. And we will see you boys on Wednesday for an interview with Florida Gators legend Patrick Young.
You can't get same these quarter. Conversations anywhere else, man. Pull up, hang out with us, same corner, same time.
Yeah, around the same time, 9:30 a.m. on YouTube with Patrick Young. We are super excited. And thanks, Nick, for setting that up. With that, boys, we'll see you on Wednesday.
This is a Bronx-bound 6 local train. The next stop is Spring Street.
If it's tough way back, off a no-name road, if it's the kind of spot where the outcasts go, if there's a parking lot full of jacked-up highs, let the up-downs think it's just a neon dive. Well, that's the kind of bar that I wanna drink beer in, kind of jukebox that I wanna drop quarters in, kind of girls that I wanna be seen with, the kind of bar that I wanna drink beer in. There's a local that likes to hustle pool. This old boy's been known to have a good game too. If there's an old barkeep that never smiles, well, buddy, that's the kind of place I wanna hang a while. Well, that's the kind of bar that I wanna drink beer in, kind of jukebox that I wanna drop quarters in, kind of girls that I wanna be seen with, the kind of bar that I wanna drink beer in. That's the kind of bar that I wanna shoot shots in, thick cloud of smoke that I wanna stomp boots in, kind of roughnecks I wanna sing along with, the kind of bar that I wanna drink beer in. Well, if the cover band knows a couple of haggard tunes, a little rock and roll, then a whole lot of blues. Yeah, that's the kind of bar that I wanna drink beer in, kind of jukebox that I wanna drop quarters in, kind of girls that I wanna be seen with, the kind of bar that I wanna drink beer in. That's the kind of bar that I wanna shoot shots in, thick cloud of smoke that I wanna stomp boots in, kind of roughnecks I wanna sing along with, the kind of bar that I wanna drink beer in.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com. That's AbilityChiro.com.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.